one of the things I intentionally do whenever I'm ministering somewhere is I don't tell Cole what I'm going to be speaking and sharing. And I do that intentionally because I don't want to influence her in any way about anything that she might feel prophetically. And so she knows nothing of what I'm going to be sharing this morning. And she actually used some phrases that are part of my notes for what I'm going to share this morning. And so that encourages me to know that actually God is a word. This is a word in season that I'm going to be sharing. It's a word for Solid Ground Church. And so I trust that you would open your hearts, open your ears, and allow God to speak what He wants to speak. Allow God to challenge where He needs to challenge. Allow Him to do what He needs to do, because He wants to use you. He wants to use this church for the building and the extending of His kingdom. And so this morning I want to talk about the priority, the high priority of the local church. And I hold the church close to heart. I got born again at the age of 16. And as much as I fell in love with Jesus, I equally fell in love with His church. And it's been a long road that I've walked with the church, and there have been many ups and downs with the church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the people, God's people, that make up the church. But in it all and through it all, I still have an absolute love and a devotion for the local church. And I think it's because I see that the local church is so highly esteemed by God Himself, by Jesus, the head of this church. And so as I talk about the local church this morning, I trust that you'll catch something of God's heart, something of His love for this beautiful bride. Yes, at times it's tainted. Yes, at times it goes its own way and it does its own thing. But the love of God for His bride never changes. And I trust and I'm believing that the bride, the church, continues to take your breath away. Still takes your breath away with the awe and the wonder of this beautiful entity called the church. All right. And yet in saying all of that, I'm of the opinion that our priority and our devotion to the local church is not what it could be or should be. And I'm making that assumption not only by observation, and I'm not only making it by comparing this generation to previous generations, but I'm basing that on what I see in Scripture, in terms of the teaching and the pattern of Scripture regarding the church. Now, it's been told to me that the average attendance in New Zealand for church is 1 out of 3 to 4 Sundays. Now, I'm hoping that's not true here at Solid Ground, but that's the statistics. And we're not talking about those who maybe visit on Easter or at Christmas time. But in terms of those who see themselves as members of God's church, the average attendance is 1 out of every 3 to 4 Sundays. And maybe it is in this day and age that we've got to compete with other entities, with other factors, with other priorities for a Sunday morning. Be it our busyness, be it our work schedules, sport events, recreation, entertainment, sleep-ins, whatever else it may be. And yet, we also got to remember that we're the most technically advanced generation that has ever existed, hey? In terms of allowing us to practice the priority of local church. And so past generations in many ways have never had it this easy as this generation in being able to get to church, in being able to enjoy the facilities that most churches extend and offer, of being able to be involved in the church, of us being able to be kept up to speed with what's happening in the church. No other generation has had it as good as us in this generation. And so our lack of devotion to the local church is not because of the times that we live in. But I believe it's because of our understanding of local church and the priority that God places on it. And that's what I want to share a little bit around this morning. Because I believe we don't devote ourselves to the fellowship and to the local church is because we don't understand God's purpose for His church, nor do we understand our place and our role when it comes to local church. And so what happens is that we often nonchalant about the church. We're indifferent in terms of our attending of the church, because we see the church as a religious institution or as an event that we do on a Sunday. And we don't see it as the bride of Christ. We don't see it as the family of God. And we see the people here as kind of fellow parishioners or acquaintances rather than brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I'm just laying that as a introduction to what I want to share this morning. Because so often that is the heart, that is the understanding of local church to so many people. And so it's good that we have an understanding of what it is that God says about the church. Eh? All right. And so I want to show you from Scripture why attending and being part of local church is so important. Although attending is quite different to belonging. Eh? But you have to, in some ways, to belong or to be part of something, you've got to attend, you've got to be here. And so that's why I do believe there's a big difference between God adding you to the church and you joining the church. Big difference. And we see some of that in Acts chapter 5, when the writers talk about the early church. And this is what it says in Acts 5:13. It says, "No one else dare join them." That's the local church. "Even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number." Notice the difference there? No one else dared join them, but the Lord added to their number. And I've come to realize that when the going gets tough in local church, it's the joiners who get going. But when you know that God has added you, well, that's when you choose to become part of the solution and not part of the problem. It's when you know God's added you, that's when you push through, no matter how difficult or tough it is. That's when you choose to make a difference and be someone who is different in every way. And so the question I want to look at this morning is then, well, why should we belong to the local church? I think it's a good question to ask, because so often we're part of church without a true biblical understanding of the importance and just how necessary and how wonderful it is to be part of that which Jesus is building. Eh? And so I've got a couple of things that as I was thinking it through, I just jotted them down. I'm sure it's not an exhaustive list by any means. But if we're asking the question, why should we belong to local church? Firstly, because it's biblical. It's biblical. Ephesians 2:19, Paul writes and he says, "You are no longer foreigners and aliens or strangers, but you're fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, which is the church." And I think there are too many who remain as visitors in the church as opposed to being members of the church, members of God's household. And you know, you can come every Sunday and be a visitor because there's a lack of engagement, there's a lack of commitment in your attending and being part of here. The second thing of why we should belong to a local church is not only because it's biblical, but it's the command of Scripture. Not the suggestion of Scripture, but the command of Scripture. And in Hebrews 10:25, the writer says, "Let us not give up meeting together." Other translations say, "Let us not forsake the gathering of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing." And so what was happening then is still happening today. People get into the habit of not being part of the local church, not gathering together. And so like any command, we've got to take it seriously. The same as this, do not forsake gathering together. Another reason why the church is so important and coming together is because Jesus not only practiced it, but he prioritized it. And we see that in Luke 4:16. It tells us that on the Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue as was his custom. And so, you know, there are some good and biblical customs and habits out there. And gathering together as God's people, attending church, is one of those good habits. And it's one that Jesus practiced and he prioritized. We also see that it's the example of the early church. In Acts 2:42, it says, "They," that's the people, not just the apostles, but it says, "They devoted themselves to the fellowship." In other words, to the local church. Another reason why coming together and being part of and belonging to the local church is so important is because it's the vehicle that God has chosen to work with in advancing his kingdom, the local church. And in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says, I will build my church. And remember, he always builds for a purpose. And the gates of hell will not overcome it. And that's why the church is still God's plan A in bringing salvation to this world. The church. Another reason why it's so important to belong to the church is that it identifies me as a Christ follower. And so by belonging to the church, and we're not just talking the universal church, but we're talking about the local church. Well, you know what? The world gets to know that I'm one of Jesus' disciples. And Galatians 6 verse 10 tells us that as we have opportunity, speaking to believers, says, let us do good to all people, but especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And that's why being part of his body keeps me attached to the head, Jesus. But you can't have the head without the body. Huh? They go together. Another reason is it's vitally important. Being part of a local church is vitally important to my spiritual growth and development. Why? Because it allows me to go on in Christ as I grow up into him, Jesus, who is the head. Ephesians 4:15. And that happens by worshiping with other believers. It happens by sitting under the preaching of God's word. It happens by serving in the church, by using your gifts, ministering to one another, being ministered to by those around us. And the reality is we don't grow and we don't go on or come to maturity on our own. We need each other. We need other believers around us to help us, to support us, to encourage us, but also to challenge us. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And that's why working out our salvation isn't something we do just with God, but we do it with one another. It's the picture of the cross, isn't it? There's the vertical, my relationship with God, but there's also the horizontal, my relationship with others. And that's why we've never been called to a private faith, but rather to a faith that is worked out in community. And so we meet together as the body of Christ, not just for the sake of having a meeting, but for the sake of spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. We come together because we need to be encouraging each other, and all the more as we see the day of Jesus approaching. And that you can read in Hebrews chapter 10. Now the reason is that me being here and you being here and each of us coming with that which God has given and blessed us with, can I say, adds to the impact and to the effectiveness and to the momentum of the church. Because scripture says that if one puts 1,000 to flight and two puts 10,000 to flight, can you imagine when 10 of us, 50 of us, or 100 of us are standing together, working together, praying together, moving forward together? I want to tell you, the sky is not even the limit to what God can do with and through his church. When we all come with our gifts and our resources and our talents and we pool all of those together, man, there is nothing that can stop the church, eh? In terms of that which God has called us to. And I've come to realize that momentum in the church is something so powerful and really is the church's best friend. But how do you get momentum? Well, when I was at school, I learned the formula for momentum. It's mass multiplied by velocity. That's what brings men momentum. And the mass of God's people multiplied by the vision of where we're going and what God's called us to do creates momentum. And nothing stops momentum, eh, when it comes to the church. And then the last reason is it keeps me seeing the bigger picture. Being in the local church, the importance of being together, it gets me to see the big picture. Because here's the truth, on my own I remain small, self-focused, immature. But being part of something bigger than me inspires me to dream big. It inspires me and helps me to step out in greater faith and to believe for the more that God has for us and has for me. And so that's some of the why. Why it is so important of being part of a local church. But how is equally important. Mm. It's good to know the why, but we also want to know the how. And so how do we become active, participating, and contributing members of God's church? And what does that look like? I think that's a good question to ask. And so, because with the privilege of gathering together, being part of the local church, can I say also comes the responsibility we have. Privilege, absolutely. But responsibility, absolutely as well. And so I want to talk about six C's when it comes to how we can prioritize and be part of what God is building in terms of His local church. All right? Good with that? Still with me? Okay. Don't be misled by that clock, eh? All right. It was yesterday's time. God is doing a new thing today. All right. So six C's when it comes to how we can be active and participating members of God's church. And the first one is commitment. And it's a commitment not just to the head, but a commitment to His body. And you might say, well, how does commitment look? What is this commitment? Well, I think commitment starts by integrating into the church. And integration is about belonging. It's about finding your place in Christ's church, in His body. But then it's not just integration, it's also by functioning, by playing your part in the body, not just belonging, but finding your place and being able to play your part in the body. And it's by being involved and functioning as a priest in this house. And so functioning is about participating, not merely spectating. Commitment really is, or functioning is about contributing and not just consuming. It's about using what God has given you for the sake of His church and for the advancement of His kingdom. And that's why commitment is about taking ownership of the church. And as Cole has already said, it's moving from this mindset of it being that church to this church to our church to ultimately my church. Where you don't just come on a Sunday, but where you're fully engaged and committed to what God is doing, to the vision, to the values, and to the ventures of this church. It's where you're rooted. It's where you're established in the church and not just blowing through the church like tumbleweed on a Sunday. Which of course means then you need to be here. Again, go back to Hebrews 10:25. Let us not neglect coming together, as is the habit of some. And not just being here in attendance, but fully integrated, involved, serving, sacrificing, participating, praying, contributing in every way, including financially. Why? Because you've bought into the church and into what God's called this church to. And so commitment says, I'm on board, I'm invested, and I'm moving forward with what God's called this church to. And so let me ask you, how committed are you to what Jesus is building here in Masterton, Carterton, in terms of solid ground? How committed are you? Secondly, our second C is communication. By communication, I'm talking about accountability, because communication and accountability is really about you talking to those around you. It's letting your leaders know when you're sick, or when you're struggling, or when you're hurting, or when you're not going to be around. Why? Not because they want to lord it over you, but because they want to be able to shepherd you effectively. And anything other than that would be of no advantage to you, Scripture says. In Ephesians 5:21, the call is to submit and therefore to be accountable to one another, including your leaders, and you do it out of reverence for Christ. That's the key. It's our reverence for Christ that keeps us communicating and keeps us accountable to those around us, including leaders. And so accountability allows me to be real and to be honest and to be transparent with my church family. And being real about my struggles, can I say, is not a sign of weakness. No, in fact, it's the exact opposite. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And when I'm willing to share and to tell you that I'm struggling, that's when I can find grace, healing, and encouragement from others. Eh? You know, James 5:16 shows us the value and the importance of accountability in the church, where James says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. In other words, be accountable to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And so accountability, like submission, is volunteered. It's invited, it's not imposed. And so how good are you at communicating and being accountable? That's the question. Now, what about when you're not going to be here on a Sunday to drop a text to Bruce and to say, hey, I'm actually out of town or I'm not going to be around. I love it when guys do that to me. Not because I want to control them or anything, but it just helps me in my shepherding and caring for them. It's just for them to communicate. And in that communication comes accountability, which is such an important characteristic of church life. All right. What's the third C? Communion. And by communion, I'm talking about closeness. I'm talking about cohesion. I'm talking about oneness in the church. And you know what? We're called to pray for that, eh? To pray for that closeness, that communion, that cohesiveness in the church. Pray for it. Pray for the church. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the ministries. Pray for the relationships. So James 5:16 says, pray for each other. And remember, those who pray together generally stay together, eh? Which is so important. But it's not only about praying for it, it's also about working for it, working towards it. And Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort. And I've highlighted that word in my Bible, every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Why? Because effort is often required when it comes to unity and cohesion in the life of the church. Why? Because when iron sharpens iron, they are generally sparks, eh? That's why we've got to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Paul puts it like this in Philippians 2:2. He says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. I want to say, don't be a tool in the enemy's hands for disunity, for discord, and for dissension in the church. In fact, Paul had to challenge the Corinthians in this regard when he says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that all of you agree with one another in what you say and there be no divisions among you so that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Now, of course, we know this can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. But we can work with the Holy Spirit in achieving this, in doing what He wants to do around that, rather than us working against Him and His divine purposes. And you know what? That's all of our responsibility, eh? All of ours. And so let me ask you, how's your communion? How's your closeness? How's your cohesion to those that God has put amongst you in the local church? Sobering question, eh? The fourth C is contributing. And with contributing is co-laboring. They go hand in hand in what God has called this church to. Contributing towards it, co-laboring with it. And which includes serving the church, serving one another, serving the vision that God's called this church to. It includes giving of your time, of your talents, and of your treasures. Being generous with what God has blessed you with. It includes carrying the load and sharing the load. Again, using what God has given you, both natural as well as spiritual gifts. And it's always for the sake of others, so that they can go on and that the church can be built up. And so it's not just about finding your place, but it's also about playing your part in the church. It's about rolling your sleeves up. It's about getting involved. It's about looking for opportunities to serve and to be a blessing. It's about seeing the need and then responding with, here am I. I'll do it. I'll be involved. I see the need. I'll step into it. Paul writes this to the Romans in Romans 12, verse 4 to 8. And he says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving or contributing to the needs of others, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The point is, use whatever God has given you for the building up and the strengthening of His church. And so again, I ask you, are you a co-laborer? Are you a contributor to all that God is doing in and with and through this local church? Only you can answer that. The fifth C is covenantal relationships. And in 1 Peter 4:8, we read something of that when Peter writes and he says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Above all other things, love each other deeply. You know what? That's covenantal relationships and love, huh? And again, we're only able to do that if we understand covenantal relationships and if we're willing to build towards that. And so it's where you see the church as your family and as those around you as your brothers and your sisters in Christ. It's what Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 12:10. He says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality, etc., etc. And again, that's the description of covenantal relationships. But being lived out. Not just the knowledge of it. Not just an appreciation of it. But the practice of it. And so I want to say, be willing to go out of your way. And out of your comforts to build relation. Because it's not what I can get from others. It's not about even what I can get from the church, but it's what I can give. How can I be a blessing? That's what God would say. And that, of course, will require you making an effort. Huh? It'll require you being proactive, stepping out relationally. And so don't wait for someone to engage with you. You engage with them. Don't wait for someone to invite you into their home for a cup of tea or a meal, you invite them into your home. It's about taking initiative. It's about being proactive, because we understand this value of building covenantally with one another. And so Paul addresses the Corinthians from the place of understanding covenantal relationships. When he says here in 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through to 13. He says, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. I want to say, open wide your hearts to those around you, to those whom God has placed you with. In terms of the local church, don't withhold your affection from each other. Because that's the challenge Paul gives to the Corinthians. And then the last one is compassion. It's about caring for those around you, those whom God has brought into your life. And Paul writes that to the Galatians. In Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2, he says, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore that person gently. And you know what? We do that because we care about those around us. Those brothers and sisters that God has placed around us. Eh? Because we don't want to see them mess up. We don't want to see the enemy ultimately disqualifying them from the prize or the inheritance that God has for them. And so it goes on and it says, and as a result of that, as a result of restoring that person, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of the cross. And you know what? We can do that. Why? Because we genuinely care about those around us. We care because we understand family. And that God adds us to his family, where we truly do become members of his household. Not just acquaintances, not just fellow parishioners, but members of his household. And so we value each other because why? We've taken time to get to know each other. Where we're no longer seeking our good, but rather the good of others. 1 Corinthians 10. And you know, scripture is so practical, hey? So down to earth. And sometimes we tend to over-spiritualize it when it is so practical. And this is how John puts it in 1 John 3, 16 and 18. He says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. In other words, with compassion, because we care for those around us. Eh? And so these then are some of the responsibilities that go with the privilege of being part of God's church. And my hope this morning is that you would take these responsibilities on board as you live out the essence and the priority of local church. Those six C's, and hopefully they came up behind me, so hopefully you'll remember them. I want to tell you are imperative about how we belong to the local church and how we value the local church. And so let me close by saying this, that being part of God's church is not optional for the believer. It's not something we do out of tradition or even out of ritual. We don't do it because we feel like it or because it's convenient to do. No, we do it because it's an absolute necessity. Yes, for our spiritual health, it's a necessity for our progress, for our development and our growth. But it's also essential for us being able to fulfill the will of God on our own lives, but also the will that God has for his local church. Why? Because no one person can do it on their own. We need everyone to put hands to plow, shoulders to the wheel, and to be able to give our best in seeing the advancement of God's church and therefore the advancement of his kingdom. Without the local church and without our absolute devotion and commitment to it, I want to tell you we would limp into our futures and into the inheritance that God has for us, be it our own personal individual inheritance as well as the corporate inheritance that God has called this local church to. And so that's the why it's so important we belong to the local church, but then also the how. Those six C's of how we can make this a reality in our lives as we give ourselves to that which is so valuable, so important to God, and so precious and treasured by him. Should we pray? Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for just how practical your word is, Lord. That we don't have to guess what you say in your word. You make it so clear to us what your heart is, what your expectations are, what you treasure, what you prioritize. But then you also give us handles, Lord, on how we can live this out, and how we can give ourselves to it. And so as we've seen from your word, and that's always what we base every truth on, the truth of your word, Lord, we see why it is so important that we belong and are functioning in local church. But then, Lord, you also show us how we can give ourselves to it as we look at this value of truly being committed to your church, of being able to be those who are open and communicating and accountable in your church, to those who understand just the communion of your church, the closeness and the cohesion that you look for, how we can contribute as members of your church, how we can labor together in the advancement of your church and of your kingdom. And then how covenantal relationships are the core and the key to holding all of this together, Lord. And then lastly, of course, in terms of how we care for those around us with something of the compassion that you carry for your church and for your people. And so, Father, we ask that you, and we would invite you to make whatever adjustments that you need to make in our own hearts, Lord, in our own experience sometimes of local church. And not every one of us have had the greatest experience maybe in the past of the local church. But Lord, it doesn't take away from the beauty of the church and how you value the church and how you are so committed to your church. Mm-hmm. And I pray, Father, that we would allow you to work in our hearts, to help us to make whatever adjustments we need to make, so that we can get on board with what it is that you are doing, what it is that you are building, and what it is that you are advancing. And so we ask, Father, that where there are some parts, even of our understanding of local church, that are not of you, that have been tainted by hurt or difficulties or experiences, Father, I ask even today, even now, that you would come with your healing balm, and that you truly would just cover up some of those hurts, some of those wounds, some of that might even be festering in us, that, Lord, you would come with the oil of your Holy Spirit, and that you would bring healing, and you would bring wholeness to those areas in our hearts. We ask for this now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.